Father, Lord God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you help us just to focus on you, Lord God. We focus on worshiping you, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that all distractions get out of the way, Lord. We just, we do thank you for mothers, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that, you know, this morning I kind of woke up and everything was going great, and then I kind of got attitude because, you know, why not have attitude on Mother's Day, right? But Father, I thank you for putting things in perspective for me, Lord, and I thank you for this position that you gave me, Father, just raising my children, Lord, and just, I've learned so much about you, Father, through my children, Lord, and I thank you, and that is such an amazing blessing, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we love on the moms today, Lord God, that even the moms can reflect on that, Lord God, that this is something that you've given us, Lord, and is a gift, Father. And I praise you for that.
Heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come.
want your will to be done, Lord God, as on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that that first starts with us, Lord, and that we listen to your will, Lord God. And as we listen to you and we follow you, Lord God, that will be an example for others, Lord. And help us not to be hypocrites, Lord God. Help us to want to serve you, Father, want to walk in your footsteps, Lord. Help us to have that conviction, Lord God, that when we're doing something we're not supposed to do, that we allow your Holy Spirit to correct us, Father, and that our hearts won't be hard to a point where we won't listen anymore, Lord. Song, just the one part where it says, when temptation comes my way, let my song rise to you, Father. I just pray, Lord, whatever that temptation is, Lord, it doesn't have to be this, you know, horrible thing, lust or drugs or this or that, Lord. Even the temptation to be in a bad mood, Lord, the temptation to fall into our flesh, Father. I pray that in every situation, Lord, we're putting you first, and that we cry out to you, Lord. Just, I know that even when I was having a silly little struggle this morning, I said, Lord, come on. What am I doing here? Father, help me to overcome this. Help the enemy not to get any foothold in there, Lord. Help us to do that every day, Lord, minute by minute, Father, help us to give you the glory and to cry out to you. And that when you help us to overcome, Father, help us to thank you for that, Lord. Continuation of praise, Father. With that love, Lord God, even when it feels like we're running dry,
you are the one that we pray.
It's so true, Lord God. Our hearts are always hungering for something, Lord. And Father, I just pray that we choose to fill that with the things that you want us to have, Lord God. I pray that we long, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to fill those things, Lord God. Help us not to be hungry for the things of the world, Lord. Because everything the world has to offer us, Father, is just junk, is trash, Lord. When we find ourselves in that time of hungering, we don't know where to turn to, Father. I pray that that name, Jesus, just comes into our mind, Father. We pray for those right now, Lord God, that especially Shirley, Lord, right now as she's healing, Lord. Father, please just be with her, Lord. Give her your grace. We pray that pain should just not even touch her, Lord God. But we pray for a quick healing for her, Lord. And we just give her that give you that situation, Lord. And we pray for our family members right now, Lord God, that if anyone that's just not searching for you, Lord God, lift them up to you right now, Father. And we just pray that you just capture their heart, Lord. For those of us right now, Lord, that don't have a mom on this earth right here, Lord God, we just, I pray that you be with their hearts right now, Lord God, and bring them good memories, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that Mike, as he is able to be here to share with us today, Father, we pray that you just bless him and his family, Lord, and as what they're staying here in Florida, Father, and just pray that you lead him today, Lord God, and have our ears to be open. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. So glad you are here.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome. Happy Mother's Day, you guys. For all you moms that do so much. May the Lord just allow you to see that fruit being born over the years. Because God is doing the work in and through you. And there's probably every mom here thinks, I'm the failure mom. You're not, in Jesus' name. There's a scripture that the Lord gave me as we were worshiping. He said, just turn to Joshua 24. It's like, okay, Lord, sure. And, I'm going to read this scripture. And, you know, the Lord was speaking something to me earlier, even during our prayer session earlier this morning. And, you know, there are so many of us with hurts and so much damage that's been done to us, right? Isn't that true? I mean, the stuff that I know, and I mean, just abuse, and physical and mental and emotional and sexual and church abuse and, you know, I just hate it. I hate it. You know, and all those things the enemy can use for us to stumble, right? To hold us down, to hold us back. Well, I just want to encourage you and remind you as we're singing that song, our hearts are hungering for the healing that only God can bring. And don't let those knuckleheaded people who did those things and said those things and were hypocrites, whatever it was, do not let them get in the way of you and your loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is your King. He is your healer. Don't let them hold you back and hold you down any longer. You have freedom in Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, there's a verse in Joshua 24. This is what the Lord was led me. I'll just read it. You know? Because we can try to win on the approval of our abusers and all that kind of stuff. And blah. Listen, it says this in Joshua 24:14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And this he goes on to say to some of those folks, he said, listen, but if serving the Lord is undesirable, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But for me and for my household, we will serve the Lord. Listen, you can't help anyone else. You can't choose for anyone else, right? But you can choose for yourself. This day, who you're going to serve. And I say, leave those old God tells old folks. Look at somebody. Leave those folks that cause that damage in the dust. God, forgive them, help them. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. A couple of things. Hopefully, this is on and working. Fancy clicker here. We have no bread from Pear because I forgot. So you have nothing to get today. So just imagine a lot of bread here, free bread and goodies for you guys. And you'll have to wait until next week to get that. So just want to encourage you again to go see Case for Christ in the theaters. It's a great film. Also, a couple other things. Saturday, May 20th here at Home Fellowship Church, Wendy Jo Lowe is planning a family game night. And where is Wendy Jo Lowe? There she is. Okay. At the usual spot. Okay. Yes, Elijah.
Do you think if it goes to the theater or like on TV, do you think we can get the theater?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. And,
5 o'clock.
Yes, I'm going to put it on.
Bring a drink, snack, cheer.
Bring drinks, snack, flaming yawn, that kind of thing. Super. Okay, so anyway, that's going to be here at the church if you're interested in that. All age groups. I'll wait for that. I think she's coming next week. For those of you who aren't aware, this will probably be the last time I share it. Just want to make sure different folks come in at different times. But we are very thankful for the folks at Loving Hands Ministries. And I just want to say thank you guys for all your giving, for what you're doing. We're buying Bibles for Loving Hands Ministry. And we're giving to them, supporting the work that God is doing there. So the Word of God is going out from this place, far beyond helping people get free from addicts, addictions, from things like that. And God is doing a wonderful work. Thank you for that. And also, Paul and Marcia Cowley, we just did this. The payment just went through to Africa. But they're going to be here. Paul and Marcia Cowley have been serving, I think it's about 17 years, in the slums in Africa. They usually come here about once a year, and they visit our church, and it's just a really great time. I don't know why it does this.
Okay. You put animations in it, that's why.
There we go. All right, George. All right, so at any rate, basically what they do, they train pastors in these slums where there's millions. I mean, they live on dirt floors, tin, cardboard. That's where they live, and that's where their lives, that's where their families are. They train pastors to go out in that realm and to bring the Word of God to these folks, and they've done it for all these years. You guys are supplying Bibles for those folks. Another 65 Bibles are going out this quarter right now from this church for all those pastors that are going to bring the Word of God to all different people. That's where what's happening with your giving. And then when he comes in another month or so, on Sunday, June 25th, what's going to happen is another group of Bibles are going to go out for the next semester. Another 50 or 60 Bibles are going out again. And so you guys are providing all that. We're going to have a cookout when he arrives, so just want to encourage you there. Also, if you want to serve in children's ministry, let us know. We equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and there's usually a lot of stuff we give away. But I feel like the Lord doesn't want me to do that today, so I'm going to hold off till next week. I want to see, is Daryl here, Betty, today?
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to give you one thing, and then I'll hand out some more of these. Could you do me a favor, Chris? Thanks. This is a CD from Mormonism to Christianity from James Walker, who was like a fourth generation Mormon who became a Christian. You guys were talking about that. I want to give that to you. It's great teaching. We also have Boner Library. Two things on this. It's free books, audio CDs, and DVDs in the back left. You can check them out for 2 weeks. If you have checked them out, if you haven't brought them back, please bring them back. Quite a few that were missing. Also, we meet for prayer here early morning around 9:30. We get started. It's a great time. I'd encourage you to come out. Today was just a really awesome prayer session. I just want to encourage you to do that. Men's Bible study. Gary, is that this week? Yes.
Yeah,
the value of having good friends' advice. In 2 Samuel, we're going through the book of Samuel. And what are we having for dinner? Okay, be a surprise.
Yes. There are ladies' sunglasses I got left behind.
So anyway, we just want to, guys, we just want to invite you out that if you've never come out. And so Tuesdays here at 6 p.m., we're just going to have food and fellowship and then Bible study in 2 Samuel. Also wanted to say thank you for all the ladies that came out. I think there was about 10 or 20 women that came out the prior week for the Breathe. And so if there's anybody else who still wants to join that girls' Bible study, it's about a 5 or 6 week study. See Lisa, my wife right there. Wave, beautiful young lady, mommy. See her, and we have a book for you. It's $15. If you can't afford it, we'll give it to you free in Jesus' name. Wednesday, the Whosoever's Youth Group right here at 6:30 to 8:30. Okay. Well, Josh and Amanda for details.
Transformers.
Oh, that's right. They came up with a name, which I thought was really cool for the youth group, the Transformers, because there's no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of their mind. That was awesome. Love it! Okay, and that Thursday night in the Old Testament, barbecue and Bible study at 6 to 8 p.m. So, man, if you want to grow in the Word, we're here. We'd love to have you, if you want to eat too. Also pray for Shepherd's Heart Christian School. Literally, there's so many families that want to come on board. I think they're showing it to two more families this week, and we could probably double the school if Manatee County would. Just pray for... I'll just shut up there. Just pray for favor with Manatee County. That's all I'm going to ask, and pray for God's favor there. I think that's it. Normally, we go through the Word verse by verse. We're in the book of Romans. However... last week we had a special message, and this week as well. Last week we were in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It was the National Day of Prayer. And I just want to encourage you guys, if you weren't there, we'll bring in CDs next week, Jordan, if you could make a few copies. But a lot of people read this in 2 Chronicles, and they just read it and pray. But there's promises, there's actions, and a reward. And the Bible says, if my people. That's a big thing. If my people. Who are called by my name, those who are Christians in the house of God. That's the promise. If you will do this, if you're called by my name, here's the action, right? Humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Then comes the reward. Then I will hear and forgive and heal our land. And that is one thing we need in this country and in our own hearts, isn't it? We need the healing of God. And so I just want to encourage you. We'll get that out next week. But I think that's all we have for today. So, Miguel, where are you? Somewhere? Okay. Come on up here. Just a second. Michael's been a good friend for many years. God has used him to help lead me to the Lord, I don't know, 100 years ago. Back when I was young and cool. Anyway, and so Michael's been does consulting work, also has taught at Liberty University for years, and so we're just going to pray for him. He came into town and he wanted to share a message, and so that gave me a little bit more time to spend with my family, and so I really appreciate that. So we're just going to pray for him right now, and we're just going to ask God's blessing, and I'm sure he'll probably want to pray too. But Father, just thank you for Michael, Lord. I thank you for the testimony that you've given him. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name right now that you would anoint his tongue to speak your words only, Lord God, to us, Lord God, to all age groups, to the young and to the old, Lord God, that you would speak, that your word would not return void, Lord God, that you would focus him just like a laser beam on whatever you want to speak through it, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name that there's people who are coming here, maybe their first time here or whatever, you would have a message directly for them. Maybe there's people who are just hurt or in need. I pray that you would speak a word right through him this day, Lord God, whatever that is, Lord, even if it's not on his notes, that he would go and speak your words right to the hearts of men and women here, Lord God. I pray you would anoint him with your Holy Spirit, and I pray that you would give each one of us listening ears to whatever your Holy Spirit wants us to hear. And I pray for a blessing over him right now. And I thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Mike, before you get started, can we show that one, there's one more movie clip before we get started that is really important, that besides Case for Christ, we showed that a couple weeks. There's one movie clip before we get started. Both of our moms we got to see come to the Lord late in life. And it was one of the most beautiful things that ever happened to Michael and myself. So if you would mind showing that movie trailer, that mom's movie trailer, George.
Only one hero can save her family and prevent disaster.
Mom, we're going to be late for school.
I don't think so.
Well...
Mom, where's that phone?
Table.
Keys.
Bedroom.
Jake and Nana.
Under the couch between Martin and Flip-Flop.
How does she do that?
Created by God to demonstrate his love with grace, elegance, and poise.
Hey, honey, have you seen my butane torch?
That was awesome. I have fond memories of Darren's mom, who was a second mom to me. We used to get together at Darren's house for this amazing Italian dinner, and the bread was homemade pasta sauce, and we would just stuff ourselves and then go to the next room and watch Star Trek. And she was so good to us. She was so good to us. I loved her. It's so good to be back with you and to be visiting again. And thank you for welcoming me. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, if you want to look at your Bibles. We're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, and the story of the miraculous salvation of his life. And with the Lord's help, we're going to ask and answer two questions. First, how the story of Zacchaeus' conversion challenges us today. And second, how that story challenges me. So, an overview of the story. These are the sections that we're going to cover today. We're going to look at who was Zacchaeus and observe the various efforts that he made to see Jesus, and then see how Jesus himself calls out to Zacchaeus. And then there's a noticeable reaction from the crowd. And we'll notice also that Zacchaeus stands up in defense of himself, and he makes some statements that are either a statement of repentance or of defending who he is currently. And finally, we'll look at Jesus, how he affirms Zacchaeus' faith and restates his mission on earth, which is to seek and save the lost. But some helpful background. This story that we're going to look at, it takes place in Jericho as Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. So consider, the events we're going to look at happen towards the very near end of Jesus' earthly ministry. So it is just weeks after this story that we're going to read about Jesus getting put before Pilate, being beaten, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So, by now, Jesus had performed dozens and dozens of miracles. By now, he had taught numbers and numbers of people. So, his fame had spread throughout the various regions. He was a well-known figure before the common people and the religious people of the time. So, follow along with me, if you would, as we read through Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. I'll be reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone into that to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let me pray. Lord, I just want to pray, Father, that as we go through this story of Zacchaeus, that you would open up our eyes and our ears to hear from you how we might apply these truths and what specifically you have to say to us. We commit this time to you, Lord. We want to hear from you, and we trust you for that. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So who was Zacchaeus? Let me ask, does anyone happen to know the name Zacchaeus, what the meaning of that name is? What is the meaning of the name Zacchaeus? Okay. Thank you for your honesty. So the meaning of the name Zacchaeus, it's a Hebrew name, and it means pure. And it's very ironic that Zacchaeus, his name means pure, because his vocation and reputation was a far cry from the meaning of his name. In fact, it says here in verse 2 that he was a chief tax collector in the region of Jericho. So Jewish tax collectors like Zacchaeus were absolutely despised by fellow Jews, and for two very good reasons. Number one, Jewish tax collectors worked for Rome, and number two, they were known for cheating people. So, more background, the Romans didn't actually collect their own taxes. When they conquered, they would divide a country into separate regions, and then they would sell the right to collect taxes from that region to the highest bidder. Once you won that bid, then it was your responsibility and your right to tax those people and to collect taxes. And there were numbers and numbers of taxes that people could impose on the commoners. And the trick here is that none of the commoners actually really understood the tax law or the tax rate. So consequently, a tax collector could charge whatever he wanted. He would pay Rome whatever their fair share was or their required share was, but then anything above and beyond that requirement was his to keep. Now, the people were not happy at all about this, but failure to pay taxes could be catastrophic. If they did not pay their taxes, then the Roman government could take and destroy all of their personal items, their personal property. They could take the Jews and throw them into prison. They could even go so far as to execute for the failure of paying taxes. So consequently, Jews viewed tax collectors as traitors, as apostates, as people who turned their back on their own kind. In fact, they were viewed as being even worse than thieves and murderers by their countrymen. To make that point even more clear, Mark chapter 2, verse 15 through 16 says something interesting. And as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to the disciples, Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? So, did you catch that? Did you see how tax collectors are presented as a separate category to sinners? Because they are a uniquely loathed group of people. And imagine, Zacchaeus must have been truly hated because he wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. So, verse 2 tells us a little more about Zacchaeus. We read there that he was rich. Now, let me ask you, what is the likely reason that Zacchaeus was rich?
Skimming off the top.
Right. Remember, Zacchaeus, as a tax collector, was allowed to collect just dozens and dozens of unfair taxes, anything above and beyond what was required by Rome was his to keep. So this tells us that he was rich, no doubt because he was very gifted and talented at taxing people excessively. So despite this moral shortcoming of Zacchaeus, we notice something really interesting in verses 3 and 4, and that is that he made some very strong efforts to see Jesus. In verse 3 it says, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Why might that be? Well, we could speculate about the reasons, but consider the following. Zacchaeus, no doubt at this point, probably knew something about Jesus. Remember earlier I just said that this is towards the tail end of Jesus' earthly ministry. So Jesus was a recognized figure, and by now word had spread that this Jesus was a friend to tax collectors, to sinners, to prostitutes, to people of ill repute, to the people on the outskirts of society. So perhaps at this point in Zacchaeus' life, he had heard of this man Jesus who was willing to associate himself with the dregs of society. And perhaps recognizing that need in his soul, that emptiness in his soul, he said, I want to see this person. I want to be near this person. Another possibility is that he might have heard of Matthew. Remember who Matthew is, one of Jesus' disciples. And what was Matthew's vocation prior to following Jesus? He was a tax collector. So maybe he knew of, or maybe he even knew Matthew. Because remember, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, overseer of many tax collectors. And he might have been familiar with the story of Matthew and this incredible salvation and how Matthew turned his back on that vocation to follow Christ. So regardless of the reasons, what we see here in Luke is the word that they used is seeking. Zacchaeus was seeking, and the Greek word here is zeteo, which means to seek in order to find out, to strive after. Zacchaeus was on a mission, and that mission was to see Jesus. And we see that that was not going to be an easy task. In verse 3, he could not see past the crowd because he was small in stature. So Zacchaeus was not only a short man, we can tell from this verse, but he was lowly in stature. As he approached the crowd that was surrounding Jesus, nobody was going to open up a path to him and said, please, let me give you a better line of sight. He was not a favored person. So we see that there was a problem here. And we see that Zacchaeus is pondering how to solve that problem. And in verse 4, he comes up with a solution. It says that he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. So Jesus is walking surrounded by a crowd. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He's too short to see over the crowd. He's not going to be given any pathway through the crowd. So watching the direction that Jesus was heading, Zacchaeus notices, up ahead is a sycamore tree. Let me run as fast as I can ahead of this crowd, climb up that tree, so that when Jesus makes his way under that tree, I can see him. But consider for a moment the behavior that Zacchaeus was displaying here. It's important to note that for the culture of the time, running as an adult, scurrying like that in public, climbing up a tree like a child, would have been considered undignified, embarrassing, socially unacceptable for a grown-up to display. But we see that Zacchaeus was willing to endure any kind of embarrassment. He was willing to look undignified by climbing up that tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. And there he is. Zacchaeus is perched on the tree. And we're going to see now how Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus. So Jesus makes it to that point where he's underneath where Zacchaeus is perched. And it says in verse 5, he calls out to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. What stands out to you about this verse that I just read? How Jesus called to Zacchaeus? What stands out to you about the words that Jesus used?
Urgency.
Yeah, hurry, for sure. Anything else?
Calling my name.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? We see Jesus' omniscience, his all-knowingness. He calls Jesus by his name. Not only does he call, Jesus calls Zacchaeus by his name, but he tells him to come down and to hurry. There's this purpose and this sense of urgency as Jesus is calling out to Zacchaeus. And he says, I must stay at your place. So this is not merely a suggestion. In fact, the original Greek reads, it is necessary. Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus, it is necessary that I stay in your place today. It's a divine imperative. Something important, predetermined, is about to happen here. And so in verse 6, we see how Zacchaeus responds. It says, so he hurried and came down and received him, Jesus, joyfully. The Greek word for hurried here means to hasten, to desire earnestly. When Jesus called out to Zacchaeus, that tapped into a very deep desire that prompted this urgency of action. And there was also the word that's used here is joyfully to describe how Jesus reacted. And joyfully literally means in the original language to delight in God's grace, be conscious, glad for his grace. So when you stop and you appreciate how Zacchaeus responded, it makes you think of something very important. This universal mistake that has been made throughout history. Throughout time, humankind has made one of the gravest errors, and that is to hear the voice of God calling and to delay or not respond at all. But here we read something special. Zacchaeus got it right. He heard the voice of God calling. He immediately responded, and he did so with a hurried and glad step. And now we see how the crowd reacts. Here, most commentators agree that between verses 6 and 7, there's a bit of a time lapse. So consider, Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus and says, I must come and stay at your house today. It is understood by most commentators that Zacchaeus went down, Jesus then followed him to his home, and no doubt there would have been some sort of a meal prepared for him. He would have been received at the home, and Jesus would have had some time to speak to Zacchaeus. And so we see that the crowd reacts, and they say, it says, when they saw it, they grumbled, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Why do you suppose the crowd was so upset about Jesus fellowshipping, essentially, with Zacchaeus?
Because they thought, you know, he was going to be one that would take up the Messiah for them. He was going to free them from the Romans and the tax collectors. So they think that he's basically betraying them.
Okay, that's a possibility. What else? Why else? Why would the crowd be grumbling about Jesus meeting at Zacchaeus' home? Yes?
Because they thought, or some of them would have thought that they were good and they had been doing the right thing and they weren't sinners, so why isn't he coming to my house? I've been doing it right, and this guy's been a tax collector this whole time.
Right, right, absolutely. So remember, in that crowd were all these Jews, and there were no doubt people of religious position. Why wasn't he going to the house of a priest? Why wasn't he going to the house of someone who had a more visibly pleasing reputation in the area? Consider that in that crowd, there might have even been victims of Zacchaeus' actions, people who lost their property, people who have lost loved ones because of the consequences of not paying their taxes. So these are people that are personally familiar with Zacchaeus' reputation. So we see now that Zacchaeus, noticing this grumbling that is occurring. Yes?
I was going to say, it also challenges their faith. I mean, they see someone that they disapprove of and somebody they respect, and they're, you know, coming together. And it's, you know, if it's somebody they disapprove of, you generally continue that disapproval into their, you know, friends and family or whatever. So they see Jesus coming to him, and that now they have to think, you know, are they, you know, going to continue to respect Jesus? I mean, he's being with this person that they disrespect, you know.
Right. Yes, and there would have been a crowd there too, by the way. In this culture, if there was somebody that was prominent, that was going through town, there would be a crowd that would follow, and there would be people at the destination there to observe whatever was transpiring. Yes?
I think beyond disapproval, probably in their mind, unsavable. I mean, I think that there we have in our minds sometimes people that we think are beyond the scope, you know,
right.
Homosexuals, transgenders,
right.
Democrats.
I love. But yes, you're absolutely right. The crowd would have perceived Zacchaeus as being an unredeemable kind of person. So they were very upset, and they probably thought that it was a bad judgment call on Jesus' part to associate himself with such an individual. Let's look at how Zacchaeus now reacts. And this is interesting because there's some debate among Bible scholars about how to interpret this next verse. So for that reason, I want to show you the verse in two different translations for you to see that difference. First, I'll read this verse from the ESV, the verse that I'm using. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Now let's look at the same verse from the New International Version, the NIV. "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.'" So the debate here, or the question here, is whether Zacchaeus was speaking in the present tense or in the future tense. And Zacchaeus was either saying that he would now start doing these things as a result of his encounter with Jesus, meaning he would now start reimbursing those that he's defrauded and stolen from and giving to the poor, or he was saying that it was already his practice. If it would become his practice, then what we're seeing here in this story is the moment of Zacchaeus' salvation. Jesus came, had a meeting with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus then proclaimed his faith and stated a new direction that would occur in his life. If, however, it was already his practice, then what this verse is really talking about is that prior to Zacchaeus encountering Jesus in this passage, he would have come to faith in Jesus, and he had already begun that process of repentance, and therefore he was standing in defense of himself to the crowd and letting them know, hey, this has already begun. But the timing of Zacchaeus' salvation is not what is important in this story. It's not the point of the story. That Zacchaeus was saved. That is the key. In chapter 18, Jesus met a rich young ruler. Does anyone recall the result of that encounter?
He doesn't want to give up everything to follow Jesus.
Right. And so how does that end? What do you recall what Jesus said after that?
It's harder for
yes, exactly. Jesus had just encountered a rich young ruler and had a conversation with this person, and this person wanted to know what it would cost to be saved. And Jesus said, "Give what you have to the poor and come and follow me." And the rich young ruler turned away sad, meaning that he was not going to take Jesus up on that offer. Luke 18:24 captures that. Jesus, seeing that this rich young ruler had left sad, says, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So we observe in the story of Zacchaeus a true miracle. Yes? We are seeing then the true point of this story, that a miracle took place. Zacchaeus, who was very wealthy, comes to faith in Christ, which is that camel passing through the eye of a needle. And it's genuine. There's no question about it, because we see the demonstration of that faith in this passage as well. Half of Zacchaeus' money is a gift to the poor. And anyone that he has robbed, stolen from, cheated, overtaxed, he's repaying fourfold. And the law of this time was specific. If somebody were caught stealing from another, they were forced by that current law to repay that stolen amount plus 20%. Zacchaeus, as a man of faith, is willing to go above and beyond even the requirements of the law of the day in order to do what is right to these people. It's a beautiful encounter between these two individuals, Jesus and Zacchaeus. At the start of this encounter, Jesus, prophetically using Zacchaeus' name, calls out to him, Pure One. And at the close of this meeting, you see Zacchaeus calling Jesus by his proper name, Lord. It's just a beautiful meeting. And now, yes. What's interesting from that conversation, the disciples thought what imagery Jesus was using was to say this is not possible, because their response was then, who can get saved? And Jesus responds, what is not possible with man is possible with God. So it was no doubt miraculous that Zacchaeus got saved. And when Zacchaeus stood then in defense of himself, Jesus listened intently, and he responds to that. And he responds in an interesting way. He says, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. When Jesus responds, first of all, he says salvation, today salvation has come to this house. Jesus could be referring to two aspects of salvation. First of all, Jesus himself being the physical embodiment of salvation, he's physically entered into that house. So, yes, today salvation has entered that house. He could also be referring to the fact of Zacchaeus' salvation coming to faith in Christ. And so you have a double meaning there that is very interesting. And Jesus takes time to affirm the fact before this grumbling crowd that Zacchaeus truly is born again. He's somebody that is a believer. He says, you are a son of Abraham. You are also a son of Abraham. That would have upset the crowd quite a bit, because the crowd was comprised of a lot of Jews who by their ancestry felt that they were automatically saved, and they considered themselves the true sons of Abraham, and they considered Zacchaeus to be unredeemable and certainly not in any path to heaven. So to hear Jesus affirm that would have created quite a bit of an impact to that crowd. But he does. And in verse 10, then Jesus restates his mission on earth. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So he restates his mission. to save people like the tax collectors, other sinners. And Mark 2:7 says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to save the righteous, to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus came to save the people like Zacchaeus, the sinners, the tax collectors, you, me. Yes.
Michael, I think that's really interesting because we're just studying that in my classroom this week. And in Mark 2:7, I believe that's when he was actually at Matthew's house, and Matthew had hosted, please come to my house, after he called him, please come to my house and I'll have all my friends there. So that's the statement he made the first time the crowd was grumbling about the tax collectors being called. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing, how he started off with that, and then we see even more of that group that could have been at that original house, at Matthew's house,
coming
to salvation.
Thank you for making that point. That's wonderful. The question I ask you then is, how does the story of Zacchaeus' conversion challenge us today? Well, Jesus is still calling out to us today, but instead of calling Zacchaeus to come down from the sycamore tree, he's calling out to you and to me. He looks at me and he says, Michael, come down from your tree of pride. Come down from your tree of fear. Come down from your tree of unrighteousness. Come down from your tree of whatever, anything that separates you from me. He continues to call us each by name to come down from our tree of anything that keeps us from him. For those that might be here today that don't already know Jesus personally as Lord and Savior, he's calling out to you in a similar fashion as he's called out to Zacchaeus. Revelation 3:20 reads, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Today could be the day, if you haven't already made that decision, today could be the day that it is said of you, salvation has come to this house. And I want to remind you of that mistake that I talked about that people have made throughout history, of hearing the voice of God and not responding or delaying their response. To those who have already received Jesus, God has a special message for us. We are now the ones that he's called to look for the sycamore trees around us and to see who might be perched up on those trees and to call out on his behalf for them to come down and to be reconciled unto God. Consider the Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, what Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. In Acts 1:8, we hear that again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We are, as believers, to be looking for those people caught up in those sycamore trees and to be the hands and feet of Christ, that voice, and to lovingly call them to his hands. How this story has challenged me. I, too, was a very unlikely convert. It was said of me when I was lost that I would be a tough nut to crack. And that was no understatement. When I was just a teenager, my only sibling, an older sister, was brutally murdered. That sent me reeling into my own sycamore tree. I climbed up my tree of bitterness, rage, revenge, hate, evil. And that's where I was perched for a very long time. Long enough that my body broke down. And I was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. It was eating me up inside, and it was clear that anger and hatred was what caused that breakdown in my body. And during that time, I ended up meeting someone, a woman by the name of Lynn, who became for me an adopted surrogate sister. She knew Christ, and she modeled Christ beautifully. And I saw in her life something different that fascinated me, that drew my attention, and it caused me to want to seek out more. And she invited me to church. I eagerly accepted her invitation, and I went to church and heard the gospel for the first time in my life, this invitation of how I could be a child of God, and that all that pain and suffering, that God would take that, and he would alleviate that, and I would have the hope of heaven. So I responded. I accepted Christ. And he not only healed me physically in a miraculous way, but he did something even greater, in my opinion. He healed my heart. He took away that bitterness, that rage, that hatred, and he transformed that and remolded it into love and to concern for other people. So the story of Zacchaeus, when I think of it, I think about how no one is beyond the Lord's redemption. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules." God did a miracle in the life of Zacchaeus, just like he did in my life, and just like he did in yours, if you know him as Lord and Savior. Let me summarize what we looked at today. We looked at the life of chief tax collector Zacchaeus, and despite his terrible choice of vocation, his awful reputation at the start of this, he made efforts to see Jesus, and Jesus in like kind called out to him, and the crowd reacted in a very angry way, but Zacchaeus stood to make a declaration, making it clear that he is a changed man, and Jesus affirms Zacchaeus' faith and reminds us, restates for us his mission on earth to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is still calling out. What I want to ask you and challenge you to do is to consider as we pray, what might Jesus be calling you down from? What sycamore tree might you be on where God is speaking to you, to your heart? And can we just take a moment and just make a commitment to the Lord and make some decisions with the Lord about what we're going to do in response to whatever we hear? I'm just going to close this off in a prayer, but it's really for you to have an intimate prayer with Jesus, just like Zacchaeus had an intimate time with Jesus. Let me pray for us. Lord, we just want to come before you and we want to thank you that you love us in such a way that crowds would never comprehend. Crowds would grumble if they knew the true nature of our heart, and they would point the finger at us. For some of us, crowds might have even said at some time that we were unredeemable, but Lord, you saw past all that, and the cross, what you endured on that cross, and by leading us to place our faith in you, we were washed white as snow. Today, Lord, as we strive in the name of Jesus to walk righteous lives filled by the Spirit, we need to hear from you still. What sycamore tree are we on, Lord Jesus, that you need to call us down from? How can we obey that voice, that still small voice that calls us by name, personally, lovingly? We commit ourselves to you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and give us the strength to obey whatever you're prompting in our hearts to do. And we thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Michael. That was a good word. You know, and I don't really have anything that I was going to add. There was a couple things I was going to say, but you kind of covered it. It's interesting to me, too, you know, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, come up and talk to me, or come up and talk to Michael or Gary or one of the others. We want to introduce you to our Redeemer, our Savior, our best friend, our healer. And, you know, for some of you here, you know, like Michael was saying, maybe you're thinking you're unredeemable. You know, I was in that same boat. You know, I think about that. I remember once I got saved, I remember there was a girl, Wendy, many years ago, before Mike became a minister and whatnot, he worked at a bank, and I remember there was this girl, Wendy, that we both knew, and I had gotten saved, and I think I dated her sister. Anyway, doesn't matter. But the bottom line is, I knew her, and I sent some Christian material her way through Michael. And so, you know, I said, please just give it to her in Jesus' name. Please just, maybe it was an utmost for his highest or something. Anyway, just wish her well. And I remember Michael, I don't know if he remembers the story, he came back. He said, I tried to tell her it was from you, and she just wouldn't believe me. She kept thanking me. She's like, I know it's from you. And he's like, no, it's from Darren. He's like, it's not from Darren. You know, so that much I do know. And so maybe you're here or you think, I remember there was a time in Michael's life, you know, he loves the Lord so much and he's sharing his heart, and I love that. But I remember a time when he wasn't, you know, before he knew the Lord, cursing the Lord, challenging God. Okay? So you cannot go too far to come into the open arms of Jesus. You cannot have strayed too far to come back. All you need to do is to turn around. And Jesus is right there. He's running to you with open arms to embrace you. That is your God. That is the one. He is the one who loves you. Never will he leave you, and never will he forsake you. You cannot run too far. Just turn around. Turn around right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to take a minute. Lord, I just ask your blessing on each person here. Lord God, I thank you for everyone that's come today. You've ordained for them to be here this day, to hear this message. I pray that whatever your Holy Spirit was trying to communicate to each person here, that we would have listening ears to what your Spirit has to say and respond. Just like Zacchaeus, we wouldn't stay up in that tree. We would come down and we would go see you and listen to whatever you have to say, Lord. I pray for your blessing this week on each individual's here, Lord, on the Bible studies and all that you have going in their families' lives, Lord. Thank you for each one and your blessing to rest upon them this week. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week.